Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it, the IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show.
It's life experiences on steroids. And I am now the patriarch of the family, so therefore I have to listen to my crying sisters and remain calm, even though it's tearing me apart. And you know that's what you have to do. And of course, relatives. And somebody always has to stay calm in that situation to kind of bring them back down. Does it eat me? Yes. Will said to me, with your finances, your family and the illnesses, your car, and various other things, he says, I have no idea how you can stay so calm through all of this. And like I said to him, what you do is you take the things that you can handle one day at a time and say, these are my objectives for the day. Can I achieve them? And you always throw in that extra. And somehow, most of the time, I have managed to get it. And this week is booked right up until Saturday, you know? And today was the worst of the days because it was money explaining, conversations, doctor's appointment of this, and testing for the neurologist on Thursday, December 9th at 3:30. So, you know, and they tell me, well, everything's about the same. See you in a year. So, but I think right now, this is probably the most stressed that I have ever been in my life through this transition. I like to get outside. Getting out of the house and walking for 4 hours in the school is pretty cool because you don't think about anything. Mega kilowatts cable is going underneath my street in front of my house. The concern is the IMF threat. And I talked to a friend of mine at MIT and he said, it's minimal. You wouldn't affect it. The ground will absorb it. Now, my next question to them, to National Grid, and they still have to come up with an answer. It's across the street is another cable that's in oil, carcinogenic. It's leaking. They've been monitoring it for years and never told the city until I told them in the meeting. And the mayor was like, what? So they're dealing with this right now. But National Grid is like my way or the highway. They don't care. To the mayor of the city. You know, their attitude is go pound sand. So now they're on a campaign about, oh, this is going to be wonderful. And it's going to pass through Beverly. And Gloucester is going to benefit by this. Well, guess what? I don't give a damn about Gloucester. I give a damn about Beverly and my street. So, and they're supposed to put in new sidewalks and a new street, not with the hack job they've done out there now. You know what I mean? Doesn't look like a new street to me. It looks like another case of more shocks. I mean, my undercarriages of both cars have taken a beating from the streets around here.
Yeah, constant street work is really annoying.
Well, it's pretty bad when you have to replace leaf spring shackles and links at $2,400 in the rear end of the Jeep because you can't even put gas in. It's just got tortured that much. And that's a heavy-duty suspension. So the Jeep still needs shocks in the front. Maxima needs struts in the front because they're rattling to get them back to normal for a while.
So how's your feel? Are you afraid at all?
Am I what?
Afraid at all?
Am I
with all afraid? These things with all these things happening in your life, like illnesses and physical things happening, and with your friends and family and to you, how are you standing up?
Pretty well. I've had to rethink how I thought about this. And as you know, I worked at night. You and I talked about this, about, you know, me going from point A to point B on the highway at 3 o'clock in the morning and having to pull some person out of a car because you're the only one there. Or dealing with kids with a long gun in their coat, talking to my security guard on Dorchester Avenue in Dorchester at 11 o'clock at night. So I've had a lot of training for this, more or less. And seeing people shot in Boston, and it's a little different when it's closer to your family, but that kind of prepares you for it. You know, shutting off somebody's machine really sucks. And my sister had to do that to her husband in June. And here she is in December, and she's there. You know what I mean? But she's improving. Like the doc nurse said to me last night, she will not make the winter, but she can get better with rehab. At least we can get her back up on her feet. And the technology keeps changing every day. And maybe she might have a chance, but her lungs are too far gone. So, and I've accepted that. I don't like seeing it because she is my sister. I love her, and I do what I can. Just being there, you know. She tends to keep everybody away because she doesn't really want anybody to see her as she goes through this. She's like I am, you know, with the post-concussion syndrome. When I'm having effects, I keep people away. Will has seen it. He has never in a million years thought that it is as bad as it is, as he has finally been here to see it over the last year and 2 months, to really see what I experience when I go through this. Some days are good and some days are really bad. And there's some humor to this because some days it gives me marble mouth. So we get up in the morning and he asks me how my migraine is. And I just kind of like do this. And then I go to talk to him and it comes out, blah, 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 and he's laughing. Because we know that this is going to last for a couple of hours. So it's like, okay, here's the notepad. Who's cooking breakfast? You know, okay, I'll take the bacon and the English. You take the eggs and the cheese. So, and it can be funny. He loves it when I do what he called the stupid tricks, where I can't retain anything. For example, going downstairs to get a large iced coffee, and I get down there and figure out why I'm getting it. And he just stands in the doorway like this, going, he'll figure it out. He knows I'll figure it out. And then it just dawns on me, light bulb, oh yeah, coffee. So and I go by what's called the two-step process with that. So I know I have to go downstairs. I know I have to get the coffee, and I know I have to come back upstairs. And I'll leave it at that. And then I will figure out what I have to do next. Some days I can do two things at a time. So it'll be two, two, and two. As I get through the day, trying to get things done to get them to process through my brain when it's clouded, you know? And what people don't understand is you injure a leg, arm, ribs, feet, muscles, tendons, and dampness and air pressure are a problem. But people don't realize that your brain is tissue. And when you damage that, it does the same thing as every other part of the body, you know? Of course, you get these people going, well, it's all in your head. Well, it is in your head, you know what I mean? And they're trying to make a funny out of it, and I get it. You know, or they'll sit there and they'll talk to me without saying anything. They'll move their lips. And then all of a sudden they go, can you hear me? And then backed up. You know, and that's one of those flip the birds, you know what I mean? Just to tease. So, but I, for the first couple of years, kept everybody away from it. Especially the first year would be getting back on my feet first. And the next year I'm out and about, but it was just me here with the cats. And I kept to myself. Enjoying my new freedom. Did a lot of kayaking, except for this year, every weekend I go kayaking because it is so nice to go out in the boat, in the water. People look at people from a distance in the river and the harbor, but they don't realize there's a whole society down there. You wave to each other, you talk to each other, you know, whether it's a big boat, a small boat, or a kayak, or a big cabin cruiser, it's a big social event. You know what I mean? And people don't understand that. You know, they see the kayaker going that way and the powerboat going down beside them, but they don't realize it's actually conversation going on between the boats and people you know, and it's fun.
Yeah.
I went out kayaking with Will this year. I had a blast. It was funny. Never been in a kayak, never been in a boat, never been in the ocean. But Mr. Panic, from here all the way down the street, all I kept hearing was, so I put him in the boat and he was clutching it for his life. And then he was a little startled when I pushed the boat off because it's not going to go off steady off the beach. You know what I mean? Until it's actually sitting in the water. Because the kayaks sit low. By the time we got from the beach across to the point, he was happy. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, nice photo.
See Mr. Happy?
You put him in front.
Yeah.
How do we feel about sitting in front?
Because somebody has to steer the boat. And you need an experienced person to steer the boat.
The what? The scariest person?
Well, I would certainly put him in the back and let him steer the boat and try to slow it down or turn it when you've got a huge wave. Otherwise, you're going to be in the water. You know,
the person in the back steers it, not the front?
No, the front person is just paddling for speed. The back person paddles also, but you can slow stop or turn the boat. And usually when some idiot big boat goes by, you've got to turn that kayak into that wave pretty damn quick or you're going to roll. You know what I mean? So, and you don't want
to... The wave is coming this way. Front of kayak has to be that way or you turn it this way so it can go like this?
No. You had it right the first time.
Oh, you have to go this way.
The kayak has to hit the wave. It has to break over the front of the kayak.
If it's sideways, it will flip. I feel like if it was sideways, you would actually go with the wave. Like
it's a small wave, you can actually go with it. But the larger waves, no way, it'll roll you. You know what I mean? It'll roll you right over. And then you're going to be swimming to the shore with an upside down kayak to get it righted, to get back in it. And it's sometimes that ocean water isn't exactly warm. And sometimes there's a little distance between the shore and where you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when I boated, I never went too far because it's like, I don't know how to swim and I don't want to get lost. And I mean, I didn't do it long enough. I only did it for that one season for 1 year, but I miss it. That's why I didn't do it in New York. Price was an issue. Well, it was like double the price. And second, the Hudson River, I was just like, I don't know. I would have to join a group, like a club.
Want a kayak?
No, in Boston, when I did Boston, I did the Boston, was that?
You were in a boat with a motor.
No, it was a sailing boat when I did it in Boston, in the Charles River. You know where MGH is?
Yeah, the small boats.
Yeah, yeah.
This brave soul goes out with the hood boats. They're 75 feet. They cost about $4.5 million. They literally can sail themselves with the computer. And it can get fun in Narragansett Bay because sometimes you hit one of those lulls. So you're going along like this. The next thing you know, you're going like this. And if you don't hang on, you'll end up in the water.
Yeah.
Or with a sore hip or something. And there's nothing worse than having a cat jump off the boat in the middle of the sound and having to jump after the cat, holding on to the cat, waiting for the boat to turn around to pick you and the cat up. And that was Angus, because he loved the water. And the fish jumped out of the water, and the cat jumped off the boat, and I had to jump off the boat with a life preserver after, and I went after the cat. In the middle of Narragansett Bay, which touches Long Island Sound. So, and it didn't bother Angus, not one bit. And I was like, probably about a good five, almost 10 minutes before they could turn the boat around to come back and get us. And I'm thinking, I'm in shark infested waters with a cat. You know, it's like, okay, you know, an appetizer and a little appetizer. Because they have great white sharks. They what?
Who do you think they would go in for first, the cat or you?
I had the cat, so I think we'd both go as a combo.
Or like the movies, you could use the cat as collateral or bait.
Not my boy. I still have his, some years later, I still have his ashes in the bedroom. Believe it or not. He was an incredible cat. And he's actually like my current cat, Max. And Will cannot understand Max. Max has a huge crush on Will. So I tell him that he's not around, thank God. I tell him Will is coming. This cat gets all excited. He waits for it. And then Will has to pat him on the bed, and then he sleeps between us. He was my biggest fear because I thought if he didn't like him, because generally he doesn't, and he hides from a distance where he can see you, how long is this going to take? But no, Max took over that very first time Will walked through the door, and I was like, I don't know what kind of drugs you're on, but it's working.
That's awesome. So, yeah, your cats are great. I don't think they had issues with me either.
No, but Max is not, Luna is more like a cat. She's learning slowly because she was never reeled in when she was younger. Max, I had as a kitten. I could just talk to him. He understands very well. That cat, which I demonstrated to Will, which he thought was funny, knows his left paw, right paw, left foot, right foot. And he showed it to Will. And Will was like, what?
That's so cute.
You taught him that? I went, I did. I said, there's a lot of other things I taught him too. He just follows me around. He's more like a toddler versus a cat. You know what I mean? And then he sleeps between us on and off several times. So I call him the bed divider. He talks a lot. He wakes me up in the morning. And then he doesn't let me go back to sleep sometimes. He doesn't let me take a nap sometimes.
What does he mean?
It's like
it fast on you.
He comes and talks to me, and then walks over me and walks over me and walks over me and walks over me. And the second I try to go to sleep, he continues to do that until he's got your complete 100% attention.
Yeah.
And they then when you hop off the bed. Yeah, it's like, okay, you're off the bed. See ya. So, but he wakes me up in the morning, roughly 7 to 7:30 to eat. I love it when we'll see her on Saturday morning because I lay there listening to him. I don't necessarily get up right away, but he knows Will will feed him. So he goes over and yells in his ear and Will will wake up right away and feed him. So I'm still asleep. I love it. Mm-hmm. So Saturday's my non-max morning.
Oh. All right, well, that concludes our chat for today, Michael.
Kirby.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
You know what's so cute? You've gained weight. You look different. I want to go like this to you.
Well, come do it.
Oh.
I'm actually losing weight now, walking around 4 hours a day. And I noticed today, the problem is the pants are between two belt loops. You know what I mean? It's either too tight or too loose. And I've lost, let's see, I think 8 pounds now in almost 3 weeks.
Where do you gain weight, your belly or your whole body?
Usually my whole body and belly. And then the whole body comes off really quick. And then the belly's like, yeah, we'll think about it. It's like Jesus. It's eternal. You know what I mean?
Think about it.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like it lingers.
Yeah, bellies, I don't know what's going on with those. Whenever I feel like I'm getting weight, I don't even actually don't do anything about it. But in my head, I'm like, hell no, because my pants needs to fit. I have pants that I've been wearing for 15 years and I'm not going to buy new pants. So I'm like, hell no.
Have you seen the prices of pants lately?
$80.
Yeah, for a pair of friggin' jeans? Hell.
Yeah. My Levi's I wore for only 1 year after I washed them. They went 2 sizes down. So I was going to leave them outside and I was like, you know what? I'll keep them around in case I'm 2 sizes down. I don't think that's going to happen though.
Well,
because I like good cut and they became skinny jeans. So I'm like,
I have 2 sizes of jeans. My waist is between a 32 and a 34. People don't realize that.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, because my waist size is actually 32, but I'm right at 33, except for what's above it. You know, the padding. And I think I'm getting more to 32s now because the underwear, I guess it's time to go buy underwear that somewhat, because I bought the 34s, they're too big.
Mm.
And they don't sell 33. So I tried on some of my 32s, I don't have many of them, and I fit in them fine. And all my junk.
Can you wear granny panties?
No.
You don't like granny panties? When I did drag, I had to get, you know, you have to get granny panties to get all the padding. Had, you know,
yeah.
Did you ever drag?
Just once. Bruce and I, and that was funny.
Tough photos.
Oh, wait to hear this. This was in 81. Yeah, just before I went to Minnesota. In 1981, there was a Halloween party at the 1270. Do you remember that? Was next to McDonald's, 4 floors.
What was that?
On Boylston Street, next to the McDonald's outbound.
Right. Oh, that McDonald's is gone. The one that was they built condos around Fenway.
Well, right beside it was the about the parking lot was the 1270. It was 4 floors, and they had a different theme for each floor. Mm. So I went dressed as a cheerleader, which my sisters helped me do. Believe it or not, and mother, And then when I went to get gas at Peabody, that guy was like, I hope you have underwear on. And Bruce is laughing. So we go into the club. We ended up partying in the ladies' room all night long with the girls and the other guys. And we have the servers serving us drinks in the ladies' room. We're down there smoking pot, having a good time, until the bouncers kicked us out when the club closed.
Yeah, that's what the fun is. It's always in the bathroom, especially when it's when I used to go to Avalon, huge bathroom, and no one hangs out in the men's room. It's always the ladies' room.
I know.
I love it. I love how in gay clubs, everyone can use the bathroom together, and everyone's fine. Like, women can do their stuff, men can do their stuff, no one cares, everyone's living their life. I don't understand how that's an issue. I get it. I totally get it.
Well, they're not unisex. I guess you just call them gender neutral bathrooms. We have them in the school.
Yeah, I think most bathrooms should be single bathrooms anyway. I actually love those. I love those better because you don't have to wash your hands. So when you come up with thought you wash your hands, but when you go to a public bathroom, yeah, you have to look like this and wet your fingertips in case people are watching. Just a joke for those who do it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, all the market baskets now have gone to unisex bathrooms to accommodate everybody.
Single bathrooms or like a whole bathroom everyone can use?
Well, it used to be men's room and ladies' room, and now it's unisex and unisex. Anybody can go in there.
Yeah, of course. When they're separated, I never got that. Like, they would have a women's bathroom. No women is waiting. And then there's like five men waiting for the men's room while the women's room is empty, and then they're afraid to go in there. And I'm like, it's only one stall. If it's like several stalls, I get it. But one stall, I'll go in. Like,
well, sometimes when the ladies' room's a little overfull at the school and there's no men in the men's room, we kind of like, I will let the girls go in the men's room and use the men's room to get in and out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Them back to their class. So, but yeah, no, I see more and more and more of this. The schools are always going to have a men's room and a ladies' room. But I would say in the businesses now, most all bathrooms have become whoever gets in there first.
Yeah, I've seen that. Especially in New York, what they do, they have a whole hallway. It's just hallways of bathrooms.
Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking, I was just like, wow, you can totally go in there and do your with your coworkers. No one would know. Perfect space.
Nobody cares.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You've got one purpose. You go in there for the purpose and you leave and you don't really care. I mean, I don't know how many times I've had to sneak into the ladies' room at Market Basket at Seabrook because, you know, you got some person in there that's dying in the men's room and you got to go, you know, and there's nobody in the ladies' room. I'm like, screw that.
Exactly. Yeah. Same here. All right. We're going to go and we can chat next time. Next time, let's have... I wanna ask you next time. I wanna ask you about your love life in details. How are you? I don't wanna use the word lucky, but lack of a better word, how are you blessed with lovers in your life? Something like that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
I have had, well, Bruce was 14 years, Edmund was 6, Walter was 2.5. And Manny was 14, and Will is 3 so far.
Where did you marry Manny when the 2004 thing happened? Marriage?
Yes. Yeah, we were the first on the list in Beverly. We were the first gay couple in Beverly to get married.
I'm glad I didn't get married. Ugh. Imagine a disaster this would be.
The only time that it becomes a disaster is when your partner passes, and there's a lot of responsibility, a lot of costs, a lot of headaches, a lot of heartache, to get that individual buried. You know, basically you sit there and go, I do solemnly swear to take this person for sickness or for poor, richer or for poor, sickness to your health, till death do you part. I just didn't figure I was going to check off all the boxes.
Right.
So that changed me. And shutting his machine off changed me. And dying almost 14 times changed me a lot.
But yeah, you're still very brave and inspiring.
Well, I'm still here for a reason. I'm not quite sure why, but it is what it is, you know?
And sometimes I feel like I do understand with the thing reasons, but I feel like sometimes we don't really need, as humans, we think we need the reasons, but sometimes we're just living and who cares if there's a reason or not? Because if you're living and you're doing your thing, that's the reason to live.
Well, the other thing too is, you know, I guess I take it for granted, but if I look at my accomplishments since I was 22, helping us get the gay rights, big issue, helping the community here in Beverly for a long time, getting computers and copiers and various other things. The equal housing law here in Massachusetts for LGBTQI with the Let Girls from Cambridge. The 911 thing, the Deaf Relay Center that works 24 hours a day on a statewide basis. No, I don't know how I get involved in these things or people drag me in, but it hasn't ended because we still have some 911 issues going on now. And I try to stay away from it as much as possible, but no, there are still some things we have to go look at and solve. And it's not one of those, it just goes away. The politicians will forget you, a lot of them. Yeah, been there, done that, you know, and it's funny because some people say to me, they say, you have no idea because you haven't been there. I have been there. You know, I mean, my friends just recently said to me, well, you know, you don't know about crystal meth. And I tried it just to see what it was all about. I told you that. And my friend Greg has been rehabbing 2 months now. So, and that's good. I sent you his picture. You saw what he looked like. Bisexual gentleman. It's gorgeous. And, you know, Will says to me, you hang around with crazy people, but Greg worked with me in a non-sexual way in the beginning when he wasn't doing crystal meth. And other friends said to me, this stuff is tough. And I figured there would be no harm in it once I did. And I see what it can do because it just gives you a craving that kind of lingers for a while, but I've been there on drugs before in my 20s and I'm like, I can handle this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll stick to candy corn, Oreos and Reese's Pieces.
No licorice.
Those are my, I never liked licorice because they look like worms. The red ones, right? Or the black ones.
Either.
Yeah.
Well, they look like worms. You know what Will does? He gets me 6-pound bags of gummy bears.
Oh, I like those.
And they last about 2 weeks.
Nice. I'll get a thing of Oreos that lasts me a couple of days, and I don't like that. So I just rather not buy it. Because that's all I eat.
Well, you want to know something? I have been very, very good. You know, when they kind of bombed me with, you know, you need to be a little bit more conservative in your diet. I have had no cookies here, no crackers. You know, it's basics, you know, peanut butter and jelly and foods. And of course, my neighbor over next door makes these delicious deep chocolate cakes that for me to eat, they last 2 days, half a cake today and the other half tomorrow.
Yep.
So, and that's kind of like my treat. Other than that, I stay away from them. So I just eat the gummy bears. So, but you feel better. You know what I mean?
Do you know that song? I'm a gummy bear, a gummy bear.
I know that. I do know that. I do know that song. Yes, I do know it very well. You know,
in the video.
That and what's that kid's one? The shark.
I don't know about sharks. I know I'm blue. I'm blue.
No. This is. I'll find it and I'll messenger it to you. But Ezra and Zaire play it all the time.
Okay. It's all right, Mikey. I'm gonna go. I'll talk to you next time.
Is this like ta-ta for now?
Yeah, I need to be like Satan, like they say. And I gotta go. But it's great to chat, and let's do it again.
Yeah, well, I think this is a little bit more of a personable YouTube between you and I. It's topics that people can understand, and it's just more real, you know what I mean? So, and for some reason, I think you and I both know on YouTube, people like things that are real, and they really do watch that stuff, you know what I mean? As long as you caption it correctly, they will watch it, and it's, you know, as part of the marketing. So, love you to pieces.
Love you too, Reese's Pieces. See you later.
I have to go do some modding.
Some who?
I have to go do some modding on Twitch.
Modding?
Yeah, I mod streams, and some of them I get paid to do, remember?
Oh, moderator.
Moderator. I'm a smooth moderator. Moderator.
So you're the new kid and I'm the old guy. I was like, what is that? You're hip.
I have people coming.
You're hip.
I'm not standing with my hips. but you know you're good when you have important people like DJ Guadier Malde from Lima, Peru come after you. You know what I mean? Please mod my stream. Because I make the chat very comfortable. Of course, I can do things with emote explosions and marketing and scheduling and shout outs to any DJs or important people that come in to get people to follow them. And they just like my stuff. So I think I have now maybe 15 or 16. I think I'm up to 16 that I moderate. And sometimes I have to put two of them on the screen simultaneously. One with sound out, the other one with sound. But just watch the chat and just flip across.
That's cool.
I get paid to listen. I get paid to listen to what I want to listen to anyway.
Yeah, that's the best. Doing something that you love, and why leave the house unless you want to or have to?
Will calls it a hobby, and it is. I like music. I don't watch the news. I have CDs in the Maxima.
You don't watch the news?
No, I have a dashboard on my computer that I open up in the morning, and it will give me Fox News, Advocate News, Local Boston News, CNN News,
Boston Globe,
NPR News, and then Google News, which is headlines, international, national, business, science, technology, entertainment, sports, and health. That's all I need to see. And of course, what you see on Facebook.
Yeah.
And all right. I'm containing, so.
we'll talk more later. Bye. Good night. I mean, love we you. Can always keep texting, but bye for now with the video.